All right, Alexander, we've been talking about Libya and what's going on there, and we've outlined in detail what's happening between Egypt and Turkey with regards to Libya, and we have some decisive moves now being laid out by Sisi in Egypt with regards to Libya. It looks like he is announcing that he will put a stop to any more Turkish advances in Libya, which threaten Egypt's national security. And I think he has a good footing to make those claims that it is in Egypt's national security interest to put an end to the advancement. So what did Sisi announce? What is he saying? And what can he do? Can he really
Well,
do what he's saying he will do?
first of all, he can do what he says he's going to do because Egypt borders Libya, which of course Turkey doesn't. Egypt has a long border with Libya. It's a long, very long history with Libya, going all the way back to antiquity, by the way. And of course, Egypt has a very, very big army, a very powerful army. It's got some very advanced weapons. It can easily match those that Turkey has. It's got Abrams tanks, which, by the way, Egypt doesn't. Turkey doesn't. Egypt has Abrams tanks. Turkey doesn't have Abrams tanks. And Egypt also has a very powerful air force. So he is in a position to do an awful lot in Libya, if he's minded to. What he's basically doing is he's drawing red lines. And the red line that he's drawing is he says that there must be no attack on Sirte, which is a city, a Libyan city, on the Mediterranean coast. It's the former home city of Muammar al-Gaddafi, the former leader of Libya, who was overthrown in the war that took place in 2011, the NATO attack on Libya that took place in 2011. It was heavily devastated at that time, but it's controlled at the moment by General Haftar's forces. Al-Sisi has said, if there is an attack on Sirte, Egypt will intervene, and it has the means to intervene, and it can do so by supplying, weapons to General Haftar's forces. It could even conceivably send troops into Libya. It has the means to do so, and General Al-Sisi has been touring Egyptian military bases on the border with Libya in the last few days. So he's been doing all of that. He's also done something else, by the way, which is what every Middle East leader seems to do now whenever there's a crisis in the Middle East, which is that he's telephoned President Putin of Russia. And they had a long discussion. And in fact, we've had all these other reports about the Russians supplying advanced MiG-29 fighters to General Haftar's forces, presumably with pilots to fly them, mercenaries, which I'm sure that's going on too. So, we're seeing all these counter moves taking place, and Erdogan is furious, and he's also called President Putin of Russia. But I think that the Egyptians have laid out the red lines, and I think the Turks will have to abide by them.
So, in one of our past videos, I mentioned that the Sarraj government was the internationally recognized government. That's actually a mistake. It was internationally recognized by the UN, not even internationally recognized, the recognized government by the UN. It was. That has expired. Let me read you two paragraphs from Mid-East Discourse by Stephen Sawini. And this is what he says regarding Egypt, Libya, and Turkey. Sarraj had been recognized by the UN. However, the international mandate of the Government of National Accord, the GNA, in Tripoli expired several years ago and is now a renegade regime only recognized by followers of the Muslim Brotherhood, such as Turkey and Qatar. Haftar's forces, the Libyan National Army, LNA, are battling the terrorists and mercenaries while being backed by Egypt, Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates, and Russia. Now, it looks like there are a lot of forces, especially in the Arab world, that are aligning against the Muslim Brotherhood. And in this article, Stephen makes the point that the Muslim Brotherhood was very well supported by the Obama White House. Obama had a had a soft spot for the Muslim Brotherhood. Most likely the Trump White House won't have that soft spot.
No.
But there's no doubt about it that a lot of forces are now starting to align behind Sisi against the expansion of the Muslim Brotherhood, which has been designated a terrorist organization in a number of countries, I believe, including Russia, if I'm not mistaken.
I think that is right, yes. I mean, the point to understand is that al-Sisi overthrew a government in Egypt that was led by the Muslim Brotherhood, which was backed by Obama, and other countries in the Middle East, Arab countries like Saudi Arabia, detest the Muslim Brotherhood. It is deeply unpopular with many governments in the Middle East, and it is also, the Muslim Brotherhood has been one of the key players, not so much recently, but especially at the beginning in the uprising against President Assad of Syria, which led to the Syrian war. So the Muslim Brotherhood is a very controversial organization, deeply unpopular in the Middle East with Middle East governments, opposed by Russia. Russia supported al-Sisi coming to power in Egypt and backs him. And also backed by Turkey. Erdogan and Qatar have historically had very close connections with the Muslim Brotherhood, with Qatar partly funding it and Turkey backing it. So a lot of this crystallizes around the Muslim Brotherhood. Now, we discussed this a short while ago, the situation in Libya, and at that point, it looked as if Erdogan had won a lot of ground. But we did say in our program that the risk Erdogan always runs is of overplaying his hand. He thinks he's winning, and then he goes and he tries to win more, and it backfires on him. That's the risk he is running now. He needs to understand that if he marches on to Sirte, as he's been saying that he wants the Sarraj government to do, backed by Turkey, then that will provoke a very strong reaction. And the Arab states, many of the Arab states are very unhappy about this. Russia isn't happy about it. France is not happy about it. And as you rightly said, I doubt that the Trump administration would want to see the Muslim Brotherhood and the Sarraj government expand its influence across Libya. So what he needs to do is to back away and to enter into negotiations with Sisi, which Sisi is still calling for, by the way, and the Russians are still calling for, and see whether or not some kind of government of national unity can be created, bringing together sections of the al-Sarraj government with sections of the the LNA government that General Haftar leads. It probably wouldn't be a very real government. It would mean an effective partition of Libya, but at least it would provide some kind of stability to the country. Whether Erdogan has that kind of wisdom to know when to stop, that I don't know.
Yeah, I agree with you. To wrap it up, Alexander, I think that Erdogan has overplayed his hand. And I think in this specific scenario, he will lose. Turkey will lose. And I'll tell you why I think they will lose. I think they will lose because Egypt has a lot more at stake here. Egypt has to win this, or at least has to create some sort of buffer to not allow the Muslim Brotherhood to take all of Libya, because I think there you are looking at a very real threat to Egypt's national security, to Sisi's government's security there. So I think in this scenario, Egypt has the leverage because now they have to go all in. Before we were saying maybe they won't go all in and there'll be some sort of diplomatic solution. But now, as Erdogan presses forward, if he does press forward, then I think Egypt is going to have to go all in and put a stop to it. And I wonder if Erdogan, though he is committed, I wonder if he is that committed.
Well, we shall see. The trouble, as I said, with Erdogan is he never knows when to stop. And I'm not sure that he has. I mean, he reacted very, very angrily to al-Sisi's statement. He called it a declaration of war, which actually isn't. Al-Sisi was leaving the door open to negotiations. And that was one reason why he called Putin, because, of course, Putin is trying to get Erdogan to negotiate. But It's up to it's the ball is again, I have to say this, in Erdogan's court. If he tries to escalate, he will find himself in a confrontation with Egypt on territory he can't win. And the reason he can't, for the reason he can't win is, look at the map. As you rightly say, Libya is a vital interest to Egypt, both in terms of Egypt's, you know, overall security, but also in terms of Egypt's internal stability. So Egypt is certain to intervene in Libya to protect itself. And at the same time, it's far better positioned to intervene in Libya than Turkey is. Turkey has to send men and supplies to India by sea and air. Egypt can interdict them. It has the means to do it. So ultimately, it's the Egyptians who hold the stronger cards.
All right. And Egypt has built quite a formidable coalition, I think, as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's got all most of the Arab world behind it. And I don't think that's going to change, by the way. I think the other thing to say is that Erdogan doesn't have many friends in the Arab world. I mean, he's quarreled with the Saudis. I mean, remember the Khashoggi affair and all that? See, he's quarreled with the Saudis. He's quarreled with the Syrians, obviously. He's quarreled with the Iraqis, where he sent troops into Iraq also, where they're carrying out armed incursions there. So the Arab nations are basically uniting against him. He's not on good terms with the Israelis either. He's on bad terms with the Greeks. The Italians aren't happy. The French are hostile. He's running out of friends.
Well, Russia looks like they may broker a peace there. Let's see. I wonder how interested Russia is.
Well, I don't think they're very interested, but at the end of the day, I suppose from their point of view, if they can broker a peace and keep Erdogan in his box, that's probably more in their interest than not.
All right. Let's see how it plays out. Alexander McCurris, Editor-in-Chief of The Durant. Thank you very much, guys. Click on that like button. Click on that subscribe. Drop us a comment. Comments help the video out, and we always love to hear from you. Also, check us out on SoundCloud for an audio copy of this video, and iTunes as well for an audio podcast copy of this video, and donate to us on PayPal, Patreon, and Subscribestar. Go to the Durant shop, pick up some merchandise, all kinds of new stuff that we have in the shop, which I know you will love. And of course, Patriotic Legacy and the Patriot Beacon is running another contest. This contest is really cool because you can win the Patriot Beacon 3, the black version, which is a really cool torch or flashlight. It's the one that Alexander is holding in his hand right now. That is a nice flashlight. They ship international as well. So they ship all over the world. Made in America, Alexander.
Yeah, and they are fantastic. We say torch in Britain. You say flashlight in the United States. Whichever word you prefer, this is the best example of one that you can have. It is an amazing torch. I'm going to stick with the British English. Amazing flashlight. It is strong. It is rugged. It is exceptionally well made. Just by holding it, it gives you confidence because it is so well made. As Alex said, it's made in the United States with all that ruggedness and quality that you associate with so many great American products. And this is, you know, an absolutely great American product, but it ships internationally and it does its job wonderfully. It has an extraordinary strong beam, which you can see huge distances in the darkest places. And it's also extraordinary clear beam, so you can, it's almost like daylight. It's phenomenal. You really have to see it operate to see what an amazing beam it is. And you can lower it, as I've just done, if you want to prevent, you know, blinding people around you. You can lower the strength. And of course, if you want to alert people to your presence, you can actually flash it like that. So if you're on the road and, you know, you've got oncoming cars, oncoming traffic, you can flash and it will alert people very well to the fact that you're there. It's got a magnet. So if you have it in your car, you can find a metal place. You can put it to one side and it stays there. And so it's out of the way, but immediately within reach. It's solar powered. So you don't have to worry about, putting batteries in. It won't die on you at an awkward moment, as battery powered things tend to do. If you're as absent minded as I am and you forget to recharge them by putting, the batteries, all you have to do is leave it out where it can get sunlight and it won't fail you. And of course, if you also need to recharge your other appliances, your smartphone, your laptop, your tablet, well, it's got a port that enables you to do that too. So that's an absolutely wonderful thing, because as I said, this thing doesn't die on you as it's solar powered. It's also got two absolutely other wonderful things which I absolutely love. It's got a compass. You can see it there at the top. You can just see it. You can see the compass there. And it enables you to get your bearings if your sat nav breaks down, if you're in your car, or if you do what I do, you're walking in the forest with your dogs and it's dark night and you lose your way. Well, you've got your compass, your trusty compass, and you can very easily find your bearings and get back onto the right path. So you've got your torch, and you've also got, and this is another great thing, it's also got an alarm which you can put on. And by the way, that attracts my dogs. So if they're wandering off and I need to call them back, I can just do that and they come running. I'm not going to leave it on for very long because, they come bouncing up and they can be quite exuberant when they hear this. Now, it's also got one other very necessary thing. If you have it in your car and something bad happens to you while you're in your car, if there's an accident, if you have a collision or whatever, you need to get out of the car, well, you've got the nail there. You can use it to break the windscreen to get out of the car fast. It's incredibly strong. You can use it, by the way, also as an ordinary hammer. And of course, you've also got the seatbelt cutter if you need to cut someone out of the car quickly. So it is the best flashlight torch you will find. It is made in the United States. You cannot afford to be without it. It is also, by the way, a beautiful thing. It is an amazing thing to hold, to see, to look at. In black, it is phenomenal to have. Our friends at Patriotic Legacy make it. And Alex will tell you again how to join this competition at the end of this program. And you should certainly do that, because you cannot afford not to have one. That is absolutely my view. So the Patriot Beacon from the Patriotic Legacy, made in the United States, ships around the world. So it doesn't matter where you are, you can join this competition. And I will say quickly, we've also got amazing things of our own in our shop, which you should certainly look at. We've got our famous magic mugs. This one has the coat of arms of the Duran on it, our very own double-headed eagle. They're the best magic mugs, the best mugs, in fact, in the world. We've got our amazing shirts, our polo shirts, all 100% cotton. All our shirts are 100% cotton. They're incredibly smart, amazingly comfortable, phenomenally stylish. We've got polo shirts, we've got T-shirts, short sleeve and long sleeve. We've got V-neck shirts. We've got hats, hoodies, and stickers. We've also got ebooks on subjects like Epstein and Russiagate, Ukrainegate, you name it. We've got it. We've got many more things coming, because Alex is refreshing our shop with great and wonderful things. So you will support us by coming to our shop. You will be the owner of these great things if you come to our shop. You definitely need to get yourself a Patriot Beacon. Alex will tell you how to do all these things.
And if you go to the Patriotic Legacy and use the code Duran20, you get a 20% discount on the Patriot Beacon as well. You'll find a link in the description box down below. And for the Duran Shop, go to theduranshop.com. In the description box down below, Alexander Mercuris, thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.